Morning, everybody. Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, which is the very end of Matthew. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always, to the end of the age." So I want to ask everybody sort of a personal question this morning. Obviously, you can personally answer to your personal self. Have you ever been in a secret relationship? You ever had a boyfriend or a girlfriend you couldn't take home to mama? Or has there ever been someone in your life that you've kept secret from your friends because you were scared what people might say? Humans are weird. We have relationships like these. It happens every day. We claim to love another person. We say they're our friend or even our lover. We say that we care about them. But we don't want to face what it would mean to us socially if our relationship were out in the open. Why would anybody want to be in a relationship like that? If you're so ashamed of this person and you're worried about your reputation, why would you be hanging around with them in the first place? Either you love them and hiding your relationship is a betrayal, or your love for them is a lie. Either way, it's probably better to quit with the games and make an honest choice. Have you ever kept your relationship with God a secret? Have you ever been in a conversation with someone in your family or a friend or a coworker and you stopped yourself from talking about your faith? Maybe you just changed the subject, or you translated the truth of your heart to make it sanitized for a secular environment. Have you ever hidden your faith like that? Have you ever been ashamed of God? I know I have. For more than a decade, I've been living in wealthy, sophisticated urban areas of the United States, mostly in DC, but now in the Bay Area. And I've definitely, lots of times, let that sleeping dog lie. If I was going to talk about the most important things in my life, my sense of truth and justice and integrity, there's definitely been plenty of times when I've code switched. I've left God out of it. I've made my point without revealing the true source of my convictions. And sometimes it feels like I'm cheating on God. And it reminds me of a song that some of you may remember from the 90s by Destiny's Child. Say My Name. You remember this one? Say my name, say my name. When no one is around you, say, baby, I love you if you ain't running game. Say my name, say my name. You're acting kind of shady. Ain't calling me baby. Why the sudden change? Why the sudden change? Why do we hide our relationship with God? Why do we pretend to be so nice? Why do we act like we're good people? Why do we pretend like our core motivation is some generic American sense of love? Why don't we confess that it's the power and spirit of Jesus that set us free? Why don't we acknowledge that it's his love coursing through our lives, compelling us to action? Why the sudden change? Why won't we say his name? Who are we cheating on Jesus with? It's easy to say that we love God. It's convenient to say that our mission as Christians is to practice the great commandment, love God, love people, which both the book of Deuteronomy and Jesus himself command us to do. We're to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves. But this is not just any love. This is the love of Jesus Christ. And we have to say his name. Because this world thinks it knows what love is. It thinks that love is being nice and appropriate. It thinks that love is giving to charity and caring for your spouse and kids. It thinks that love is what we see on TV. It thinks that love is a feeling. It thinks that love is safe. But the love that we know is dangerous. We worship the God who revealed true love in the broken body of Jesus on the cross. The love that we've experienced, the incarnate love that we worship, is love for enemies, laying down our lives so that the whole world can be redeemed. This is the love that God promised to Abraham and Sarah, through which all the families of the world will be blessed. How's the world going to know about this startling, unexpected, self-sacrificing love of God? How are we to receive this love when we've been blinded and confused by the false, selfish love of this world? For thousands of years, the church has looked to the words of Jesus that we heard this morning, this passage that the church has traditionally called the Great Commission. These were Jesus' instructions to his original disciples. Here, Jesus lays out what the love of God looks like when put into practice. And what does he say? He says, go. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go and immerse them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Go and remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's notice what he didn't say. What Jesus didn't include in his commission to the 12. Jesus didn't say, go and make propaganda. He didn't say, go and convince people you're right. He said, go and make disciples. Disciples to whom? Not to us. To Jesus. He said, teach them. Teach what? To know and obey Jesus. Who? Not Peter, not Paul, not me, not you. Jesus. The Great Commission is not about replicating our opinions. It's not about building a religious empire or gaining superiority over other people. What Jesus has called us to do is bring other people to learn from him, to come to him, to be transformed by him, to become a brother and a sister to us in Jesus, because he loves us. And we have to learn to love the whole world like Jesus does. Jesus says we're to baptize others, to immerse them. That's what the Greek means. We're to immerse others into what? Into our denomination? Into our ideology? Into our ego? No, we're to immerse our lives and the lives of those we meet into the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that we may be one, just as Jesus and the Father are one. We're to teach others to follow Jesus, not us, but the living and resurrected Jesus. The foundation and cornerstone of our faith is that he is here. He's alive, and he's ready to teach his people himself. He calls us to join him in that teaching ministry. What Jesus is saying here is that if we want to practice the great commandment, love God, love people, we must practice the Great Commission. We must share the joy and peace and love that we found in Jesus. We have to say his name. Why is this so hard? Because it is, right? It's hard to talk to people about Jesus because it feels so personal, so intimate. It's hard to talk about how much he means to us. Sometimes it's even hard to talk about our relationship with Jesus with other folks here in the church. It's even more challenging to share these things with people in our workplace or our family or folks who we're just getting to know. Why does it feel like such a burden to share the cornerstone of our lives, the reason for our hope and faith? Maybe we're afraid others will judge us. I've felt that. Have you? Sometimes I worry that people will think less of me. Maybe if I talk about Jesus with a coworker, it would be inappropriate. They might think I'm a religious fanatic or that I'm just annoying. I know that I don't want to risk that kind of shame. I don't want to feel vulnerable like that. I bet you don't either. I don't know about you, but I'm tempted to justify this fear by telling myself that, in fact, I really am obeying Jesus in my own way. I tell myself, well, maybe I'm not explicitly talking about the details of my faith with others. I'm not mentioning my relationship with Jesus out loud, but I'm showing people my faith through the way that I live. I'm loving God. I'm loving people. And that's what really matters, right? I'll go ahead and follow the great commandment, and I'll let others do that great commission thing. I get this. It makes sense. Because at first glance, the great commandment seems selfless. It's unquestionably selfless and pure to love God and love people, right? Not even most anti-religious people would really argue with that one. But the Great Commission, that's a little different. It seems kind of ideological. And so many religious groups have used it as a proof text for why they need to be standing on street corners and BART stations, going door to door to get other people to accept their ideology and join their organization, right? The way it's been used and interpreted very often, the Great Commission can seem pretty salesy. But if we're truly practicing the Great Commission, it's just as ego-free as the Great Commandment. Because the Great Commission is about love. It's about sharing God's message with others so that each person we meet has an opportunity to experience the love and the forgiveness and the power that we've received through Jesus Christ. We can't love others if we won't teach them to follow Jesus. We can't love others if we don't share the good news that Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death, that he's risen from the dead and is here to teach his people himself. We can't love God if we're not willing to be seen with him in public. We can't love our neighbors ourselves if we won't share the message of salvation that has meant so much to us. We have to say his name. And again, I know this is a heavy lift in our culture. At least in the circles that I run in, it can feel like there's an unspoken agreement that we should leave religion at the door. Religion is a private matter, like sex. It's fine if you want to do it, but please keep it to yourself. So it makes sense that those of us gathered together at Berkeley Friends Church were not so different from the first disciples. We're scared of what Jesus is asking us. This is actually these lines from the Great Commission, from immediately before the Great Commission that Jesus gives, are some of the ones that I find most interesting in the Bible. It says, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Some of us are doubting right now. And all of us, each and every one of us, has doubted at some point or another. Probably at many points across the way, or along the way. What's interesting to me here is that it says they worshiped him, but some doubted. And then it just continues. Jesus wasn't concerned with the doubting. He didn't stop and chastise the disciples who doubted. Jesus didn't have time for shame. He kept bringing the disciples back to the cruciform love of God. He kept sharing his commandments. Love God. Love one another. Love your friends. Love your enemies. Go and make disciples of all nations. Even the Romans who nailed me to a cross. Go and make disciples. Teach them to follow the way of love that I've taught you. Immerse them into the way of life that I've given you. Go and make disciples. We could never do this on our own. It would be impossible to overcome the flow of our culture and swim against the current if this were all just a nice idea. But the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. We are empowered to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves, even when it's uncomfortable. Because Jesus is with us always, even until the end of the age. So what does it look like for us to be faithful to Jesus' great commission? What does it mean for us to be sent and to go? How are we making disciples of all nations? All people, regardless of their skin color or ethnicity or language or national origin or any other facet of their identity. What are we doing to bless the people that God has placed in our lives? Immersing them into the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. How are we being called to teach the spiritually tender people that God has connected us with? How are we teaching them to obey the risen and living Jesus? The ways that we share the victory announcement of the kingdom, it's going to vary from person to person, from situation to situation. This stuff is contextual and there's not a cookbook. We rely on the Holy Spirit to lead us. But if we are to continue in love, if we're to embrace this life transforming relationship that we have with Jesus, we have to say his name.